Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
And welcome to the program. So glad you have joined in. The other day I got to thinking about the Christian life. We enjoy some very definite advantages, like the knowledge that we worship a forgiving God. We have the hope for the future. We even know where to find effective guidelines for our mental and physical health. But there's one area where, on the surface, it seems that the world has it better than we do. And that's the area of escape. Those who aren't trying to live godly lives have some very powerful tools at their disposal for dealing with life's sour notes. They can drink their troubles away, pop pills to ease their fears, and basically medicate themselves into a happy bliss, at least for the moment. The world offers so many ways to escape reality, but the Christian uses none of these tools. We just have to sit there and take it time and time again. We can't run, we can't hide, we can't escape. Or can we? Let's talk with Dr. Timothy Jennings about ways that we as Christians can face the mind-bending problems of today without seeking shelter behind artificial walls. Dr. Jennings, let's begin close to home. A marriage is in trouble. There's mental anguish involved. How does the couple learn to cope with the pain as they try to put their relationship back together again?
You know, that's a great question. So many people come to see me struggling with, difficulty and pain in marriage. And one of the first and most important aspects of being able to move forward is the capacity for empathy, the capacity to actually understand where the other person's coming from. And without that empathy, go ahead.
Yeah, when you have this empathy, this is a tool you learn. We've had programs on this when you were learning these things. But while you're learning them, I'm talking about while the process is going on, while we're applying the simple solutions, there's no way for us to back out of this stuff. We're there. We have to put our face in it. We just have to live with it.
Well, you know, I like the fact that you have made a demarcation between a Christian's dealing with problems and maybe somebody who chooses to go to a bar, to drugs, or somehow to some form of what we might call escapism. Because escapism doesn't actually resolve problems. It actually only avoids dealing with the problem. So the problem grows, it gets bigger. And not only that, oftentimes the escape mechanism adds new problems to the list. So a person who has a marital problem and goes to the bar to drink is not actually coming to empathize with his wife, not coming to understand what the actual issues are, not learning communication skills, not developing capacity for empathy or patience or tolerance or any of these things. So he's not actually resolving the problem. And on top of that, he's now getting intoxicated, damaging his physical health, neglecting his wife, not spending time, wasting money, all these other layers of problems, maybe even developing an addiction, are going to be added on to the current problem.
So if he doesn't pull into the bar on the way home, what should he do?
In regard to the marriage problem?
In regard to his feelings, in regard to his angst about what's happening. And don't tell me, Dr. Jennings, I know you're a Christian, don't tell me pray. You know, this works for so many people, but it doesn't work for everyone. What do you do when you're in the battle, the valley of death, when you are actually doing these things, you're trying to make differences, yet the problems are so overwhelming that you just are going crazy inside yourself?
Yeah, I guess there's multiple things that can be helpful. One is to stand your ground and don't run. Our reflex is to run. when we have any type of physical pain, emotional pain, discomfort, whether it's tension, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, whether it's emotional hurt, rejection, whether it's physical pain, our reflex is to run away. And think about a little puppy who's hurt, it's broken its leg, and it's your pet puppy, and you're going over to help heal it. Now, what will the puppy want to do as you reach in to heal?
Yeah.
It's going to try to run
like
from,
that.
It's going to try to run from you. It's going to snip at you. It's going to snap at you. It's going to attack you, even though you're doing nothing but trying to help it. See, that reflex is very much wired into us as well. Even though when we're hurt, if somebody's trying to help us, we have a reflex to push them away. As a physician, there's been many times I've been in the emergency room. Somebody's come in. They've come in because they want help, because they're hurting, because something's wrong. They know something's wrong. They don't know what it is. They come in and I have to do an examination. Let's say they're having abdominal pain, and as I'm palpating their abdomen, oftentimes people will take and push my hands away because it's uncomfortable.
Sure.
Why are they pushing my hands away? Because the pain has reflexively causes them to pull back or run away. But at some level, depending on their maturity, they're able to understand that there's a need for this discomfort in order to actually address the problem and get well. Emotionally speaking, it's the same way. If we're emotionally uncomfortable, stressed, anxious, overwhelmed, we can't run away and actually have the problem get better. We have to stand our ground and address the problem. So step one is don't run away. Give yourself permission to have the emotions, but recognize emotions themselves can't hurt you.
And even as you say that, I'm realizing that some of the tools, some of the escape tools are basically people running away from their problems, the alcohol, the drugs and whatnot. That's people running away, isn't it?
You can run away into lots of things, alcohol, drugs, television, work, relationships, even ministry. I know many pastors that run away from their marital problems into the ministry and neglect their family.
Right, right, okay. All right, step number one, this is wonderful, don't run. In other words, we look upon the Christian psyche as sometimes from a standpoint of we're persecuted, we can't run. But you're saying we shouldn't run. That's what we need to do, stand there and start working this thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, okay. Okay, don't run. The next step. Dr. Deal and I have talked about this on our show, Chip Health, how we need to prepare our minds to be healthy so that we can deal with issues. Is there a health step here that we need to hear about, Dr. Jennings?
Well, all of this stuff is actually healthy. Because as we resolve our emotional problems, the brain and body are connected. And as we reduce the stress and the stress cascade, it has a physiological healing benefit to us, as the Bible does teach, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So as we stay stressed and anxious and worried and in internal turmoil, that over the course of time has a physiological price to pay with increasing illness, both physical and mental illness, to us. So yes, there's a physical health benefit for doing these things.
All right. Okay. So now we have two very important steps. Don't run and do what you can to start building your health. And I can understand this now. It's beginning to make sense, because as we start feeling better physically and as we stand our ground, then we can start collecting the tools that God has made available to us. Because if we run, we won't see them. If we're not healthy, we won't see them. Am I on the right track here?
You're absolutely on the right track. So step one, when we're in some type of discomfort, think of somebody with physical injury. They've gotten a broken bone. They've got it set. Now they're going to physical therapy. The only way they'll ever walk again is to not run from that difficult task ahead of them. They have to stand their ground. They have to apply themselves. They have to tolerate the discomfort in order to actually overcome the brokenness and experience healing. So if we're in a marriage with stress, if we're in a circumstance in life with stress, with problems, with something's not going right, our emotions can be very uncomfortable and we can be tempted to run away. I actually have patients that come to me in therapy and they know something's wrong. And as we start to get to the problem, it gets more tender. Just as you imagine, you go to a doctor with an abscess, abscess, and as he goes to lance the abscess to drain the pus and heal it, it actually gets more tender. Sometimes in therapy, people come, they know they're not well, they know they're sick, they want help, but as we get near the real issue, it becomes very emotionally overwhelming for them, and they flee therapy. They don't come back anymore. They become angry. They become, because they feel the discomfort of the issue as we're addressing it, and they think that somehow what we're doing is hurting them. Like, maybe you could think the doctor who puts the scalpel in the abscess is hurting you. Well, he's not. But there's no way to heal it without going through that process.
Dr. Jennings, is it possible? This is going to be a, this is sound like a strange question I'm asking you. Is it possible that there are people who run away to God?
Yes.
The reason I ask this, yeah, there are people I've known, well, it's God's will, God is leading in my life, and it's all about God, but it doesn't really fix anything. They just talk about it.
Well, the question is, the answer is yes and no. They run away in their mind to God, but they aren't actually going to the real God. Because if they actually went to God, see, God is the God of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And step two, after you stand your ground, is to be truthful. You must be truthful about what's going on with you. If you're having a mass in your abdomen, not only do you have to not run from that, you have to be truthful about what's there, not ignore it. If you have problems in your marriage, not only do you not run away into alcohol, but you have to be truthful about your contributions to why the marriage is having difficulty. So step one is stand your ground, but step two is be truthful. And people that do what you describe are running away, so they're not standing their ground, and they're running away in a dishonest way because they're creating a, and I see this all the time, they create a pseudo-righteousness in which they hide behind, in which God wanted me to this and God that, and they go into ministry and they hide behind this thing, I'm doing His will and His service, and then they blame other people for any problems because they were doing God's will.
And sometimes these individuals, let me just stay on this for a moment longer, sometimes these individuals come across as, you almost think, man, I wish I was like them, because everything is about God and God is with them, and it's like the answer to everything is the concept of God as opposed to dealing with the problem.
Well, I can tell you, you can usually spot these people because most of the time, there's some that are a little more subtle, but most of the time you can spot these people because their religion becomes facade that they hide behind.
Yes.
And so
yes,
you see this. Oh, have you ever heard the statement, thou protesteth too much?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thou proclaimeth Christianity too much. Okay.
Yes.
In other words, depending on the circles that they associate in, they may wear crosses around their neck. They may have, you know, Christian tracts they constantly shove on people everywhere. Every email they send is somehow filled with how God blesses them and what, and it's just turned with this in a way that actually avoids dealing with the realities of their life circumstance.
My. Well, we are hearing some very, very important guidelines today. We have a break coming up in about a minute, and so I want to get a very quick one in here, Dr. Jennings. As we learn to be truthful, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes that truthfulness has to reflect on us. We have to say, I was wrong in this situation, right?
There's no question about it. That's what truthfulness is. Truthfulness on all aspects. Truthfulness about the circumstance. Truthfulness about ourselves and our contributions to the problem.
Well, we have a break here, and I want to remind you, listener, that we have a website that we would love for you to come by and visit and stroll around, read some of the material there, look at some of the videos. I hear some exciting things happening on the website, new material coming up. And that website is comeandreason.com, www.comeandreason.com. There you can also listen to some of the presentations that Dr. Jennings has made, also read his blog. And if you're a Facebooker, search comeandreason.com and join us there as a fan of comeandreason.com. That is all available on Facebook and the Internet. Very, very important stuff. Okay, Dr. Jennings, when we come back, we're going to continue our journey. What we're doing really here is adjusting our attitude, because I think the most longest lasting tool we can use in dealing with life, instead of running away, instead of destroying our health, instead of listening to lies, is to adjust how we think about this and how we think about God. We'll talk about that on our return, so stay right where you are.
Here Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat.
Many people today are interested in probiotics. Well, what does this word probiotics mean? Well, this helps our bowel flora get back to the way it should be. You know, sometimes when you eat the wrong foods or transit time in the gut is prolonged, we have the bad enzymes or chemicals go higher than the low ones. Well, probiotics are special formulations of literally bacteria, which helps balance things out and keep our systems in a good situation where one bacteria doesn't overwhelm the other. You can hear a lot about probiotics, but rather than take lots of probiotics, let's get back to the biblical plan of eating lots of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains and keeping good bowel function. Therefore, you won't need to take a lot of probiotics.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome to Happy Hank's Hamburger Heaven. May I take your order?
Let me have a double cheeseburger, no onions, medium fries, and a Diet Sprite. Plus, I'm lost. I need some directions if you can help me.
Thank you. That's a double cheeseburger minus the onions, medium fries, Diet Sprite, and enrollment in the Discover Bible Course.
I'm sorry, what?
The Discover Bible Course. You said you wanted directions in life.
No, just to the 101 freeway.
I know, but this is even better. With the Discover Bible Course, you'll know where you're going for eternity. You'll never be lost again. You'll drive down the freeway with a whole new purpose in life.
Okay, I'll try it.
That comes to $4.72 for the food. The Discover Bible Course is free. Please pay at the window.
Thanks.
For your own set of personal directions to eternal life, call 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings, and we're talking about dealing with life. We mentioned that the worldly people, people out there who care nothing about themselves and God, have some escape vehicles. They use alcohol and drugs and pornography, and they have all these tools they can use to escape from reality. We Christians just sort of have to sit there and take it. And Dr. Jennings is saying, well, not exactly. There are tools that we can use to help us deal with reality. And the first one, he said, is don't run. And Dr. Jennings, you mentioned that it is a reflex for us to run. We are reflex for us to run, but you're saying that doesn't work. Why doesn't that work for us? Why can't we run away from our problems?
Because running actually doesn't resolve the problem, and the problem is something that's inherent with us. And so, I had a patient who had some rectal bleeding, and he didn't deal with it. He ignored it. He just pretended it was hemorrhoids, and it was actually colon cancer. So running from the problem doesn't solve it. It only gives it time to grow bigger. And by the time he had finally addressed it 4 years later, it had already metastasized, and it was too late to treat. So, So running from problems doesn't help anything get better.
And step number two, you say, you know, it's a good idea for us to address our health. Now, how is addressing our health going to help us dealing with a wayward spouse or a boss that drives us crazy?
I actually didn't say that. I said step two is to be truthful.
Okay. All right.
And we talked about how when we stand our ground, be truthful and address our problems, it has health benefits.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. So we address our health by being truthful. All right. Gotcha. Okay. I'm making a little notation here. So if we are truthful, if we look at this thing truthfully, when we deal with truth, we don't have the stresses you were talking about when we're dealing with errors. Am I on the right track?
When we bring the truth to apply to our life. See, we can know the truth, but not apply it. A smoker can know that smoking is harmful and they know the truth, but they don't apply the truth and quit smoking. So they don't get the health benefit. So you can know the truth. You can know the truth that overeating and not exercising is not healthy. But if you don't apply the truth to change your lifestyle, then it doesn't do you any health benefit. You can know the truth that cheating on your spouse is no good. But if you don't apply it and maintain a faithful and loyal relationship, you see, we can go all day with these examples.
Sure, sure. Okay. All right. Second step, be truthful. What's our next step, Dr. Jennings? We're standing there. We didn't run. We're looking at it honestly. What do we do next?
Well, I think this is the key. The after we stand our ground and we're being truthful, both being truthful and the next step have in common changing our attitude. Being truthful gives us a change of concept or ideas or application or response. And the next one is enlarging our perspective, trying to step back and see life and our circumstances from a larger perspective. And both of the applying the truth and changing perspective allows our attitude to shift. And let's give an example of that. Okay. If you, see a 40-year-old man cursing at a 5-year-old little girl in a parking lot, calling her all the foul names you ever heard, you don't look over at that and go, what a horrible little girl. You recognize that the man has problems. Christ said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings forth the good from the good stored up in him. The evil man brings forth the evil from the evil stored up in him. So we look over that and we diagnose very quickly that whatever's happening there, that man has some problems. Whether he's mentally ill, whether he's just a hard-hearted person, whatever, he's got problems. But what does a little girl walk away feeling like?
Oh, my.
Like she's horrible, like she's rotten, but she's not. This is one of these enlarging your perspective circumstances. When you're in a relationship and your husband is speaking ugly words to you, calling you fat, calling you ugly, calling you no good, or the wife is speaking no good words to her husband, you have to recognize the same reality, larger perspective. The person speaking the ugly words are revealing something's wrong with them. And so if the assumption is that they love you because they married you, you could respond by saying, hey, sweetheart, after they're speaking ugly words, what's wrong? Something must be terribly wrong because I know you married me because you love me and you're speaking these harsh and unkind words to me. That must only mean there's something wrong with you. What's wrong? Rather than personalizing it, feeling hurt, feeling crushed, running away, we change our perspective, which gives us an internal attitude change. Even if our partner doesn't recognize it, we don't have to feel crushed on it. We can recognize, wow, my husband's heart, who's hollering at me right now, he's angry, he's hurt, there's something wrong with him. How can I help him? And we help the partner who's out of line, not by colluding and just kowtowing and rolling over and being a doormat. That we don't help anybody with that. We help by standing our ground and not running and dealing with the problem. And we can be dealt with graciously and gently. Sweetheart, what's wrong? I know you love me, but right now you're not letting the love flow through your heart. You're actually having some other attitudes come out. What's that all about?
It sounds like it's about time for God to enter this picture. Am I right? Do we now turn for God's help as we go through these steps?
Well, of course, God is in this because God is the source of truth. And so, as soon as we stand our ground, we're asking God, give me the strength to stand my ground. I need strength. God, give me wisdom. You know, the promise in James, all those who ask wisdom will receive. So God, give me strength. Give me wisdom to discern the truth. Help my mental faculties develop a love for truth. And Father, help me enlarge my perspective so I can see things from your perspective. Let me stand next to your throne in my imagination and look down on my circumstances as you see them. And let me see the hearts of people as you see them. Changing perspective will give a huge attitudinal change that we don't have to feel hurt. We don't have to feel injured. We don't have to feel like we are somehow ineffective or worthless. We actually can have empowerment through this process. So yes, God is woven through this entire process for the Christian.
Absolutely. Because too many times I've heard stories of people who just call out to God before they have taken the other steps. Now, it's possible that God can lead them to those steps, but they think calling out to God is all they need to do. But you're saying, no, there's some steps involved there too.
That's exactly right. God is involved in this entire process all the way through.
Okay, calling to God is not the end, it's just the beginning. Then God brings us through these steps. Let me review them one more time for you. If you are facing situations, don't run to the bar, don't go pop a pill, but stand your ground, don't run away, be truthful about it, and change your attitude, enlarge your perspective, and God can help you do those things. It's more than just God. It's God and you working in partnership for this. Very, very, very important words today. Simple Solutions is a production of CommonReason.com and airs each week on this station. Share your questions and concerns online at CommonReason.com. And then join Dr. Timothy Jennings right here as we search for the Bible-based simple solutions God has in mind for us today. Dr. Jennings, you know, many times I mentioned the website here, commonreason.com. What is your purpose with that website? What are you trying to accomplish with it?
We're trying to help people develop their capacity to think and reason for themselves. As it says on the website, we're not here to tell people what to think. We're here to help people learn how to think and reason for themselves so they can discern the right from the wrong.
How do we get to the point, Dr. Jennings, where we don't think for ourselves? It's too easy to let someone else do it, I guess. Am I right?
Well, I think it's a process of human development. The children are, you know, in many homes are taught to not ask questions. You know, the old saying, yours is not to reason why, yours is just to do and die. The children are seen but not heard, basically following what they're told to do. And in school, oftentimes, school is a process of memorization and regurgitation. Church is a process of indoctrination. You don't have the ability to know what the Bible teaches. Someone senior to you, a theologian, a pastor, a priest, will tell you what the Bible teaches. You just need to have faith and not think for yourself and just accept that because it's true type thing. But that's all unhealthy. There is a place in our development when children are to follow and obey, but there's also in healthy parenting that we want to develop in our children the capacity for them to problem solve, to reason, to think, persons who are able to weigh out the issues and come to healthy conclusions so they can ultimately stand on their own two feet with their own individuality. That is our goal. So this is what we want to do, is help people who haven't necessarily developed these skills to develop them more fully so they can reason and think for themselves.
Oh, you know what? As I hear you say that, I'm thinking of the many times you have told us that's exactly what God wants us to do. He's our parent. He wants us to think. He wants us to reason. A lot of people miss that, Dr. Jennings.
There's no question. A lot of people miss it, and a lot of people actually don't even realize they're missing it.
My. Well, we have a lot more to talk about, and we'll do so as our program continues. Once again, the website is comeandreason.com, and we invite you to go there and enjoy the wonderful resources that Dr. Jennings has made available to you there. Also, our phone lines are open right now, 800-775-4673, 800-775-4673. You can call right now and leave a question for Dr. Jennings, and you can come on the air and share that with us, and we'll be happy to address it right on the program. Also at comeandreason.com, you can leave questions there. Just click on the link there that says you can leave a question for the program, and we will address it in the weeks and months to come. So we invite you to do that. We have people from all around the world leaving questions there, so join them, won't you? Comeandreason.com. We'll be back with Dr. Timothy Jennings in just a minute, so stay right where you are.
Are North Americans heeding the call to breakfast? Research shows it depends on your age. This is Dr. Elmar Sakala for Lifelines. While studies show many benefits of starting your day with a healthy meal, the American Heart Association recently found that 24% of adults aged 18 to 34 still skip breakfast. Teens fare a little better, with only 19% hurrying out the door hungry. 9% of kids aged 8 to 12 skip their first meal, while only 6% of children under 8 fail to eat. Studies show that eating a healthy breakfast helps you consume less calories throughout the day. So get your day off to a good start. Eat breakfast.
Lifelines, a public service of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, provides practical answers to common questions. For more free health tips, call 877-LIFE-TIPS or visit vibrantlife.org.
My mom is a hero. She goes into burning buildings, she finds people inside who need to be saved, and then she helps them get out. Even when she can't breathe or see, even when she's a little scared. My mom is a firefighter. She does great things. And the best thing she can do is come home.
The U.S. Fire Administration, a part of FEMA. reminds you to protect the heroes who protect our lives. Have a smoke alarm on every floor. Test it monthly. Replace the battery yearly. Do your part to get out before firefighters have to come in. The fact is, 60% of all fire deaths occur in a home without a working smoke alarm. The good news is, that's a fact that can change. For more information, visit the U.S. Fire Administration at www.usfa.fema.gov. Working for a fire-safe America.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills, here with Dr. Jennings, and we're talking about attitude adjustment today. Those of us who are facing issues in our lives, you know who you are, we need to do some attitude adjusting, because if we don't, it is so easy for the devil to get a hold of us and head us off in directions that we should not be going. Dr. Jennings, I want to take the four steps that you outlined in the first part of the program, and let's see if we can apply those to some very real, very stressful situations in life. A divorce is taking place. The couple is in the middle of a divorce. I cannot think of a more stressful time for people, including Christians. Christians go through this just as much as everybody else. How do we apply the steps? Let me give you the steps first, and then you tell me how to apply it. The first one is don't run. You want to run away from the situation. It's pretty bad. How do you not run when everything inside of you says, get out of Dodge?
Well, how is running actually going to help? And some might actually, and I assume we're applying these four steps to the healing of the emotional wounds that occur in divorce. We're not actually applying these steps to the healing of the broken or fractured marriage.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. If the divorce is going to happen, how do we help?
Because, yes. So, because running away isn't actually going to fix the problem. You are the truth, step two, the truth, yeah. The reality of the circumstances, you are going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. The reality of circumstances, you're divorcing someone that at one time in your life you loved, that you had a intimate and close relationship with, that you have bonded to, and there will be loss and grief and pain. And therefore, the only way to resolve it. So let's think about a physical wound for a minute. If you've been gashed in your leg, once the wound has happened, we can't reverse history and get a redo. We can't go back in time and undo the injury. The injury is there. So we have only three options. Option one, deal with it as effectively as possible, bring healing as quickly as we can. Antiseptics, antibiotics, sutures, so forth. Option two, ignore it. Nothing wrong with me. I'll be fine. Option three, actively infect it. Rub some manure or something in it. I mean, those are our options. So same thing is true for emotional wounds. If you're going through a divorce or recently gone through a divorce, you have been wounded. That's a fact. You only have three options. Stand your ground and deal with it as effectively as you can to bring healing as quickly as can, as you can. Two, ignore it, run away. Nothing wrong with me. I'll be fine. Just run away and do other things. Or three, infect it. And, blame yourself. It was all my fault. I never can do anything right. Everything I do always fails. Da, da, da. All this negative thinking and stuff will infect it and make it worse. So we have only three options. So why do we stand our ground? Because intelligently, we want to take the path that will bring healing as quickly as we can and bring an end to the pain and heartache.
And I guess you will have to say in the step number two, be truthful that we may have to come to grips that it was in large our own fault. Is that right?
Well, the reality of divorce is that no one except the two parties involved in that relationship ultimately know what went wrong in that relationship. Every divorce that happens for a different confluence of factors. And generally, in most circumstances, it takes two. But there are some circumstances in which one person is extremely abusive, one person's extremely hard-hearted, one person's extremely exploitive, while the other person is truly seeking to be gracious. I guess the example would be God's relationship with Lucifer. You know, that relationship fractured and broke down. God didn't do anything wrong, but Lucifer fractured and broke that relationship all on his own, despite God's efforts to reconcile it. So sometimes, you know, it may be the truth that, there's nothing more you could do to save the relationship. That might be the truth. I would say the majority of human relationships, however, the vast majority would probably put it north of 96%, 97%, 98% of, human relationships when they break down. Both parties have contributed to the breakdown, in some form or fashion. And so the truth would then be, and this is what I tell my patients and the process, we can't change history. We can't undo what's happened in the past. We can't get that redo that we just talked about. So what are our options? Deal with it as quickly as we can. And one of the dealings with it is, in the process of being truthful, is to learn from history. What did I do that contributed to the dissolution of this relationship? What can I learn? What changes can I make in me so that I can improve myself so that, number one, I may not get involved with a person who had the problems, another person had problems like this person, so I won't repeat this type of relationship again. And two, if I do find myself in a relationship with difficulties, I'll have a different set of coping strategies and skills. I'll be more mature to be able to handle that life in a different way. So what can
it's
I
surprising,
learn?
It's surprising how many people, when they get a divorce, they find someone just like the people they divorced from to marry. Have you noticed that at all, Dr. Jennings?
Yeah, and that happens all the time because the persons don't actually take time to say, okay, what is it about me that contributed to the problems? And another question, what is it about me that found someone like him or her attractive in the first place?
Yeah,
a person who marries the alcoholic and then second alcoholic and the third alcoholic, okay? You can, but even after the first one, you can say, what is it about me? Why, what is going on inside my heart and mind that I find someone with that particular type of problem attractive in the first place? I mean, I found him attractive. Why? Why would I find, what is it about me that finds that attractive? And see, each one of us have our own internal compasses and internal values and morals and histories and memories. And we have things within us that determine what we find attractive. And if you find yourself attracted to certain types of dysfunctional human beings, the question is not what's wrong with all the men in the world or what's wrong with all the women in the world. The question is what's going on with me that I keep finding this type of people attractive. Some people will frame it this way. And it's not quite as close to home as, why do I keep attracting these type of people?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting question, but the better question is, why do I find these type of people attractive?
Have you ever been able to answer that? I mean, you have people coming to you with the same situation over and over again. They marry this an alcoholic. What is it about alcoholic that's attractive to anybody?
Well, the people who often find alcoholics attractive are people who have lots of insecurity issues of their own oftentimes. They have neediness. They often have fears of making their own decisions. They doubt themselves, and they're looking for someone who is willing to take control maybe, who's willing to someone who is manipulative. Not that they're looking for that on a conscious level, by all means, not at all.
Yeah.
But on an unconscious level, they respond to that.
Hmm. Well, okay. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. 800-775-4673. Perhaps you are facing a situation, and Dr. Jennings would love to take you through these four steps and maybe open your eyes to some possibilities that you can find a way around, find a way through, find your way over the situation you're in and resolve it in some way. 800-775-4673.
There's another reason, though. There's another reason, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
That on the alcoholic question, some people find this pathologic need to find broken people and try and fix them.
That's true. That's true. I've known people like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You were about to say something else.
Yeah, I just want to move on to the next category here. I try to pick categories that the majority of our listeners probably have faced or are facing, and the next one is the workplace. There is a lot of unhappiness in a lot of people's lives in the workplace. They have an overbearing boss, they have an annoying and self-destructive coworker, and they want to get away from this. They want to They want to fix it. But I guess there are problems, Dr. Jennings, that we simply are not in a position to fix. Am I right in saying that?
There's no question there are problems that we are not in the position to fix. How many of us would like to fix the economy of this country right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But we're not in a position to do it, are we?
All right, no, we are not. So, okay, we have to stand there. We have to take it. All right, let's talk about the workplace. The workplace is unbearable. Now, a lot of people will say, okay, I'll just leave this workplace and go to a new job. Is that running away or is that valid?
Well, it depends on the circumstance. I think, again, step one in standing our ground is standing our ground with ourselves. That we actually, regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in, we still have responsibility for how we govern ourselves. If someone calls us an ugly name, if someone says malicious words about us, if someone gossips behind our back, we still are responsible for how we react to that. Do we call them ugly names back? Do we go and gossip behind them? Do we become ugly and become physically violent? I mean, our behavior reveals the kind of person we are. Even when we're treated unjustly, unkindly, cruelly, we still have the responsibility to live a life like Christ. And what enables us to do that is to recognize the truth that the other person who would do such a thing is a sick individual, either sin sick or emotionally, mentally sick or spiritually sick, or some way they're sick, because a healthy human being, as God designed human beings to live, loves other people. Health is love. Love is health. So people who don't love are sick. They're sick in sin. They're sick in mental illness. They're sick in some way, in some capacity. Something's wrong with them. And so when you recognize somebody's treating you badly and you recognize that person is sick, it really diminishes your need for retaliation.
There was a question that came in recently to comeandreason.com that is sort of along this line, and I would like for you to adjust. We can start before the break here. Every person uses themselves as a reference point in all their interactions. Everything is in a relation or is relative to their own experience. If you look at a person and see that the person is annoying, see this person is self-destructive, are you looking at it through your own eyes thinking, well, if that was me, that would be annoying. If that was me, that would be self-destructive. I understand what I'm saying here. Are we applying to other people our own standard and we shouldn't do that?
That can happen, but see, when you ask questions like that, it's like we can't overly generalize. Every circumstance is different. The reality is there are people out there who are objective, not subjective. Subjective means my experience. Objective means the reality around me. There are people who are objectively offensive. If somebody just, came in your workplace having, been inside a septic tank cleaning it, okay, and they walk in having not showered or changed or anything, we would all find that offensive. Our olfactory systems, our sense of smell, would react to that with a sense. If you were eating your meal and they came and sat down right next to you, you would not want to continue eating. You would want to get up and move somewhere else. Okay? That's objectively offensive. And that's a metaphor, but there are people who actually are that offensive at human beings. They're that noxious in the way they interact with people. They really are unpleasant to be around. They bring a foul stench and a foul atmosphere to the environments that they go in. They're not sunshine. They're not light. They're rain, drizzle, and desolating hail.
Yeah. There are people listening right now going, yep, I know that person like that. But Dr. Jennings, we're Christians. We're supposed to wrap our arms around the septic tank cleaner. We're supposed to wrap around that foul-smelling person and love them to Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
We are supposed to love them, but that doesn't mean we aren't revolted by what we see in them. So, if they're foul, and think about this. The person who has just come in from that septic tank, maybe that's your son.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If that's your son, you, what do you want to do? Well, hey, let's take you over to the shower. Let's get you some new clothes. Let's get you cleaned up. Let's, you want to help him out, but you're still put off by the smell. Okay.
Okay.
But what happens if your son is an adult and he says, no, I refuse to shower. You're going to have to sit there and eat your meal with me right in your face. I insist on being this way. You cannot, I will not do anything to improve how badly I smell. I don't care how offensive it is to you. You have to enjoy me like this. Well, that's not true. We don't have to enjoy people that are offensive. We can be gracious, we can be kind, and we can say, look, I love you, son, but if you want to come over to my house smelling that rotten, then, you're going to have to stay outside.
This is wonderful stuff. 800-775-4673 is our phone number for your questions and comments. Give us a call right now, 800-775-4673. What is the situation that you're facing or someone you know is facing? We'd like to talk to you about that and apply these very powerful steps as we adjust our attitude toward life's messes. Stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
I was 8 years old when I realized what it was that I had to do. I was walking down the street and I saw so many homeless men and women. I knew I had to find a way to help. 2 years later, I started a nonprofit group to feed the homeless. Hi, my name is Amber Kaufman, and today I'm 20 years old. For the past 10 years, the organization I created, Happy Helpers for the Homeless, has delivered love, food, and clothing directly to men and women living on the streets. We've also helped other young people discover the joy in serving others. You know there's something you need to do in your community. But maybe you thought, what can I do? I'm just one person. You'll be amazed at what a difference you can make if you just put your mind to it. Decide today to make that difference. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings. And we are adjusting our attitudes today. We are learning how we can make some changes in our lives to help us deal with the problems that come our way. A lot of people deal with it by running away. They drink, they take drugs, they go into pornography. There's all numbers. The world has just thousands of ways for you to escape from reality, but you know, Christians aren't called to escape from reality. Christians are called to do what, Dr. Dings? How would I describe the Christian's response to when reality goes sour? What are we supposed to do?
Love your neighbor as yourself. We're to live lives of love. Love, the big three things that are supposed to manifest in our lives are love for God and others, love, truth with ourselves. Remember, it says in Jeremiah, the human mind is deceitful above all things and utterly wicked. Who can know it? So we have to be truthful with ourselves and truthful with others and practice the principles of freedom, that we actually give others the freedom to think, feel, act, and behave the way they want. And we aren't responsible for that. Mm-hmm. We're responsible for governance of ourselves. So love, truth, freedom. Those are the things we're responsible for doing in the way we govern our lives. And as such, we maintain a sense of peace, a sense of joy in the face of difficult circumstances around us.
Okay, now I've been talking to you about situations involving a spouse and divorce that's happening, a workplace situation, and you've been giving us some wonderful guidelines here. I want to bring this really close to home for a lot of people now and say, what if, Dr. Jennings, the battle that they are facing is against God? They have not had in their mind a good experience with God. Maybe their church was a disappointment to them. Maybe their pastor was a pedophile. Maybe something has happened to them in their looking for and reaching for God that pretty much knocked them down. How do we use these steps to reestablish a relationship with the God who loves us?
Well, I think it's a good question, and if it's the person, I've had patients in those circumstances. Patients in those circumstances won't use these steps to do that. I haven't had patients in those circumstances who are angry and mad at God, or believe God is mean and vindictive, or believe that God is hurting them or exploiting them or et cetera. They really, most of the time aren't interested in God because he's not somebody who's worth their time. He's a horrible being. And so it really, for those maybe who are just going through a spiritual crisis, they are not mad at God, but they have lots of questions. They're confused. Something's happened that they can't figure out how it fits in their life. These steps would work. Okay. Uh-huh. Stand your ground. Don't run from the problem. Be truthful. Search for the truth. Weigh it out. Look for it. Enlarge your perspective. All of these things would be very helpful for that person who is having a spiritual crisis. The situation has caused a question of their traditional understanding of life, and they need to find out a better understanding. Then these work beautifully. But for the person who's actually already concluded that God is, a horrible being, well, why would they even want to search him out and do more with him? He's a horrible human being. So you have to change their frame of orientation, and it usually takes an outside person, and any of us can do this. We have a friend like this, say, do you believe in God? And they say, I don't believe in God, I believe him, but I hate him, or those types of things. Yeah. You say, well, tell me about the God you don't believe in, or tell me about the God you believe and hate. Can you tell me about him? And let them describe him to you. And as they describe him, then you affirm them in not believing in him. Good for you. I don't believe in him either, because it's some horrible mischaracterization of what God is really like. And you say, good for you. It shows that you are actually thinking. It shows that your mind is being enlightened. It shows that you're not willing to be darkened, because anybody who would believe in a God like that, their mind will be damaged by that. Good for you. And you affirm them, and you'll see an opening. Their mind will, really? I thought it was bad for rejecting God and not believing in it. Wow. I know you're a Christian, and you're telling me it's a good thing. See, and there's an opening. And then you can say, yeah, because that's a horrible mischaracterization. Then you give an example, a human example about, maybe a parent who was misrepresented horribly and told all kinds of lies about by someone else, and told that child came to hate that parent because of all the lies that were told, and it wasn't representative at all. What would need to happen? That child would need to examine the truth and see that parent for who they really are, so they would come back to an appreciation.
Too many times we jump the gun on this thing. We say, well, look, I know you hate God, but let's kneel down and pray to him. But that's not the right approach at all.
That is a sort of jumping the gun. There's a worse jumping the gun than that, which I've seen. I hope you haven't seen it, but I've seen it. You don't believe in God? Well, you're going to burn in hell.
Oh, yeah.
Believe, because he'll burn you in hell if you don't believe, and that's just the God you shouldn't believe in.
That's exactly right. Exactly right, yes. Okay, so when we face this, when we face a person like this, I like what you said there. We listen to them, and when they describe the God, my God, that God took my mother away. That God made me lose my job. That God killed all those people in Haiti with the earthquake. Yeah, we should not be loving that kind of God at all.
Exactly. Exactly, because that God actually is a mischaracterization. That is the effigy created by Satan to get people to actually be afraid of God and run from him and not trust him and create all types of ideas to be hidden from him and protected from him rather than be in unity with him. Remember the whole spiritual thing that Jesus said, I pray we'll be one. Well, how can we be one if we need somebody to always stand between us and him, always be protected from him, always be paying him off and buying him off with appeasement and blood and all this other stuff? We can't be one with him. So it's a huge, this whole theological stuff that we're taught, much of it has been infected with a distortion.
Yeah. This whole concept of God, where was it? One of the programs on television I saw a mention of it. Somebody said, God loves you. He died for you. He did all these things. He has wonderful plans for you. But if you turn on him, he'll kill you and burn you. That is the distortion that we have so much about God today. And unless we change our attitude, unless we have an attitude adjustment about that, we're never going to have the proper relationship with God that allows us to have the help we need through the four steps of the other problems we're having. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. If you actually believe that doctors kill their sick patients, if you're sick and you go to the doctor, see, and the reason over in County X they don't have any sick people because they've got really good hospitals and medical treatment over there, but you find out what really is going on, every sick patient that comes, they get killed. That's why they have no sick patients. Well, would you like to go to see a doctor you believe kills his sick patients?
Yeah.
Well, that's what people were basically saying about God. If you don't take that's his right. treatment, if you don't accept his remedy, if you don't do what he says and follow his treatment plan, he'll kill you. How many of you would go to a doctor like that? Okay, I'll get you well if you follow my plan, but if you deviate, I'll kill you. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with that. And so this is exactly what devil wants people to think, because he knows if you actually believe that about your doctor, you'll never go to your doctor. You actually believe that about God, you'll never really trust him. Then you'll never get well. That's the devil's trick.
And that is the overarching concept that we need to get straight in our minds before we start dealing with divorces, before we start dealing with bad coworkers, before we start dealing with the hurts and pains of this life. We have to begin, friend, listener, listen. We have to begin with a clear understanding of the character of God. Dr. Jennings, am I on the right track here?
There's no question. If the Bible teaches us that without the knowledge of God, the mind becomes dark and futile and depraved. That's in Romans chapter 1. Our minds become distorted, twisted. We assimilate the values of the God concept that we worship. So if we worship a punitive and authoritarian God, then we can begin practicing those methods in the workplace, in our home, our relationships suffer, our church family suffers. We will experience people trying to maintain their autonomy and individuality as rebellion, and we will become more authoritarian, and we'll accuse them of being rebellious and unruly. And people who want to think for themselves rather than believe the way we do will accuse of being heretical and all this other stuff. It's just an ugly thing when we worship an authoritarian and a punitive God. We can even strap bombs on ourselves and fly into buildings in the name of a God like that.
Oh, my. Oh, my. All right. Well, we have had a wonderful journey here today. Let me review these steps very quickly. The first overarching step is to learn the true character of God. And that is done how, Dr. Jennings? Give us 30 seconds on how to learn about God.
Well, the ultimate place, of course, is to remember that Jesus revealed the Father. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus' human life and walk and journey. He came so that we could see God in real flesh.
Yeah. And you know, I would just love to have Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, standing beside me as I face the vicissitudes of life. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's the God we have that will help us stand our ground, that will teach us the truth, and so that we will be honest with ourselves, that will help us change our attitude and enlarge our perspective. That is the God that helps us with our attitude adjustment. Thank you so much, Dr. Jennings. We appreciate you every week on this program. Such wonderful words of wisdom you give us. And listener, I want to remind you once again that there is a website that you can visit, comeandreason.com. You can enjoy Dr. Jennings' blog. I understand there's something about gun control on there right now. Check it out. Also, program archive. You can listen to previous programs on this website. Resources such as Dr. Jennings' book, Could It Be This Simple? I recommend you read that. Get it and read it immediately. If you're on Facebook, come join us as a fan at comeandreason.com. Just look for Come and Reason. It'll take you right there and join us as a fan. We'd love to have you there as well. Well, until next week, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Timothy Jennings inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.